Well, we continue on with love and the practicality of love. But this one is about a father's love. And we're going to go to Luke chapter 15. And we will start in verse 11. Yeah. And just so you know, a father's love is so, our father's love is much different than just a human's love. But I think that when you love the father the way we should, our love should be his love. And you want your children to have the very best. And I know in times we have to let our kids learn. You can't always, you can't get their valleys and their mountains for them. I remember wanting Julie to come a certain way back in her life. And I remember, and I don't think she'll care that I tell you, but her boyfriend said, "Will you please tell Julie it's okay that she can live with me? And she is just brokenhearted. She doesn't want to hurt you." And I said, "No." I said, "I love Julie so much." And I said, "Julie knows she's been raised right. I think it's time for her to grow up and make her own choices. But I said, I think she already knows what to do, and I'm not going to agree with it." But that was when I was coming home, and the Lord said, "You cannot choose your daughter's valleys. I have all these things lined up already." Julie came home. And that's because she knows. Deep down, it was in the heart. She came back home. And I was very happy that the word had full reign and was moving in her heart and life. And that is to give glory to God. So we're going to start on the parable of the lost son. And I don't like to say that he wasn't born again. I believe this is a story of he was very carnal. You have two sons, and you're going to see legalistic. One of them, "I'm fair, don't you see? I did this, and I'm so good." But you're also going to see the one that comes to the place. He goes out. He wastes everything. But that was in disguise. It was a blessing that God knew. God knows what it's going to take to bring us to the place of need. So John 15 and verse 11, and he said, "A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father," now here's a difference in your attitude. You go to your father and you say, "Father, give me. Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." That sounds like his father's living, everything he has, "You owe me." And that's no different than even carnal saints when they say, "Well, I go to church and I do all these Bible studies and I do this and I did that. But God, why do you allow this to happen?" God doesn't owe us anything. God is a God of love, and what he's doing is perfect love. So he tells his father, "You give me the portion of goods that are fallen to me." He divided unto them his living. His father did it. And I was thinking, well, gosh, why would you give him that? Well, I think it's the same thing. If this is what you want, I'll give it to you now. I think he knew that son would return, because he knows out in the world there is nothing going to satisfy. Because set your affection on things above, not on things of earth. You know, in the world, it's not just an affection. There are affections. There are many affections out there. But when we have a single heart toward God, it's set your affection. And as Jean always says, it's your mind. Set your mind on things above. He said, the younger one says, "Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living. I wonder why he didn't just go, "Father, would it be okay if I have mine now?" And you see, what he's really doing is, this son, he's one of those who, "I want to see it with my eyes. I'm going to have all this money in my hands, and I want to see it. I don't have to hope for it anymore. I already got it. And I don't have to have faith that one day I'm going to receive it." He doesn't have to do any of that. He just gets it and said, "Oh, I love this money." He gets it and he goes out and he has righteous living. And what that meant was he even had harlots, and we'll see that through the word. It says, He divided unto them his living. Notice that, his living. This is what Father had. Now you take that as spiritually. What about your heavenly Father? What are the riches you've been blessed with? But it's not because we earned them. It's because God has given them to us. He's letting us now, and we do have faith. And we have the faith of the Son of God, but we also have hope. You know, this hope is not just the riches and blessings that we have right now to enter into, because you have to labor to enter into that rest. Study. You don't even understand what the true rest is. We must study the Word of God. And he said, I've given you all this, but I've also given you other things. If you look in Matthew, he said, we need to consider the lilies. They don't toil, they don't spin. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. First. All those other things are going to be added to you. Have you ever thought about you're a steward of another man's goods? What you've been given, this is God's. And something else, you've been given another man's goods. I am not my own anymore. I've been bought with a price. What are we being found faithful with what we've been given? In other words, believing that God is able. Are we taking care of what God has given? This doesn't get down to law. This isn't works of my own. Because there are times in our life we go, well, I wish I could just get this under control. Or no, give it to God. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. He has all the might. He has all the grace and the strength. He's the God of all grace. He's the God of every one of us. And he has exactly what we need. But he says they look at what they already see. They're looking at it. They're like, wow, I like this. I'm taking it. I'm going to go out in the world. I'm going to live. But they're Christians. These can be born again Christians. I'm out here for the pleasure of sin. It's just but for a moment. We read that in Hebrews where Moses said he was not going to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He wouldn't take his identity with them. His identity was with Christ. He is not going to go for that. It's only for a season. Think of all he left. The power, the glory, being in a high family. And oh, you get the good talks about yourself and you're wealthy. And look at how much you. Well, you're going to see this son right here is very self-centered. It's all about him. He said, the father, he divided up his living. And that really got me. And not many days after the younger son, he gathered all together and he took his journey. He took his journey and I wrote down his journey. He gathered all and he took his journey. Where's that at? Far from God, far from his father, far from his brothers or sisters in the Lord. I mean, we have to take this deeper. He's going to go into self-indulgence. Also, he's going to go into rebellion. He's leaving the Father's love and his guidance, which the Father has been put in the place of taking his orders from where? He gets his orders from up above. Always God is the center of the headship. We must put it in the right order. And I know I wrote down a scripture early, and it was 1 Corinthians 3:21-23. We have no reason then, because it said whether Paul, whether Apollos, whether this one, whether that one, we have no reason to boast in our leaders or our earthly possessions. But this son is going to do that. He's going away from, he's departing from the Father's house, and he's headed to moral decay and to poverty. It's a far country. This far country is spiritual emptiness. He's gonna have lack. But what does God say about us? there will be no lack among his people. He won't even, he doesn't see, God doesn't want to see his people begging for bread. You know, out on a corner, I need this, I need that. He will lead and guide by the Spirit of God what to give and what not to give. So anyway, he took his journey, and we see how where he's going. And of course, he wasted it. It's once you decide, I want it now, give it to me. Give me my inheritance. Those words right there started out not with, Father, would it be okay? To me, he's not coming under his father's authority. And so he went and he said, just give it to me. And everything from that point on keeps going down, down, and further down. And he wasted his substance with righteous living. When he had spent all of it, he comes to the place, he spent every bit of it, there arose a famine in the land. And he began to be in want. You know, I was talking to Mom yesterday, and I said, Mom, do you have money or are you poor? I mean, do you need us to give you some money? And she said, no, it's not that. I have to be wise on how I spend my money. I have to be careful not to just spend it on every want that I and stuff that I think I want. It's to be spent on what is needed. And that's why God has put it there. That's words of wisdom. That's words of wisdom. I could just walk away and say, what a fool. No, she's walked it. She's lived it. When he spent all, there arose the famine in the land, and he began to be in want. What are we told in Psalms 23:1? The Lord is my shepherd. Is he? Is he leading you, guiding you? Is he the one that is restoring you? You see, I shall not want. I don't have to want for anything because he supplies all my need, everything that's needed. And he went, he joined himself to the citizen of that country. And he sent him into the fields. This is a time of famine. He don't have nothing. He can't buy your friendship. He can't do nothing. He goes in. He goes to a citizen of the country. Go out into the world. What a place to go. Because I'm going to tell you, when you go out, when worldly people are all about themselves, they hold on to every dime they got. They're not going to give you a penny. They're self-centered. So that's where he is. And he sent him into the fields, and guess what he gets to do? Feed the swine. Feed the swine. One of the dirtiest things there is, but I used to love to slop the pigs. I just liked it. I think it was because I saw them just gobble it up. I think it's because they were so hungry, and you just feed them, but you're fattening them up. But now the Lord has given me a better place, and it's feed his sheep. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. Just the husk. If I could just have the husk to eat, do you see what a place he has gone to? He's totally, and we hear this all the time, God will bring you to the place that you need him. God already knows. He knows what's ahead. He goes, okay, if you choose to go your own way, and you want to come up and do your own authority and do what you want to do, you have no need of me. Go ahead. And he'll sit there and wait patiently because God knows he's already hooked your heart. You are not going to find satisfaction going to the bars. You're not going to find satisfaction dancing, drugging, overeating. You know, no one wants to talk about overeating, but me either. But God said, take care of what I've given you. If you rent another man's house, would you take care of it? Most people, no. But have you been trained up from the time you were a child? That if you rent somebody's property, it's not your property, it's theirs. Keep it clean, take care of it. God used those kind of things with my life in the very beginning. You take care of what I've given you and I'll give you more. But then he took it and took me spiritual. What have you done with what I've already given you? Have you done as I've led you to do? Not what I want to do. Not take the scripture and go, well, I'm going to change this person and that person. No. It's take it when you're led of the Spirit. Take it, your treasure in the earthen vessel, and let it be of God, and give it out, that the saints will grow up, be edified, built up, given an inheritance. He said that he joined them, he came to want, and he said he would have ate just the husk. And I was like, wow, I'd want the corn. No man gave unto him. You see, right there's the answer. In that country, no man gave to him because it's about self. In the body of Christ, go back to the Father's house. Then it's going to be about your brother, your father, the family. How much we all had together. They were working together. Look what all they had then. When he came to himself, he said, man, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough? This is where I left. They have bread enough to spare. But here I am, and I perish with hunger. I'm starving. He comes to a place of decision. I gotta go home. This is repent. Change your mind. Turn. Go back the right way. Go back to the Father's house. Many have started out well. And we even see that in Galatians. Who bewitched you? What made you think that you can go on your own now and you can grow up and you can change yourself? And none of us can. I love it because we can say, none of us. There's not one sitting here that can change your flesh. But he wants to change the inner man from glory to grow up into maturity. He said, I'm going to arise. Arise up. Go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, notice, Father, I have sinned. I've done wrong. I've done wrong against heaven and before you. You know, it's everything we do it as unto the Father. And am no more worthy to be called the Son of God. I remember when I was in Burlingame, they used to sing, somebody always sang this song, I'm not worthy or something. And I go, man, you are worthy. We are worthy in Christ. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Well, in 1 John 3:1 and 2, it said, beloved, now are you the sons of God. Now you are. It's not, he has to learn, it's not about his little good conduct, his bad conduct. It's come back to the father's responsibility of the household and listen. Be in submission. Take in what your father has done. When they were together, working together, look what all they had. Enough to take and give one son this, and you'll see about the other in a minute. He said, I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of the hired servants. Do you see the humbling going on in this man? He said, man, but he's got to get I out of the way. His father loved him. He was not a respecter of persons. He loved both sons. He arose and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, so he's headed back the right way. He's going home. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him. He had compassion on him. Compassion? Your son just went out and blew all your living. He said, well, I gave it to him. I gave that to him. He said, I gave this to him, and yeah, he's done this. But he said, the Father's heart never changes. And I'm taking this spiritually, because I'm gonna tell you, our Heavenly Father, his love is everlasting. And he said, he had compassion on him, and he ran. He fell on his neck, and he kissed him. How many of you would do that? Your son comes home, and what if somebody comes back in the church? They've been out, you know, all they've done that before, now they're coming back again. How are you gonna treat them? You should treat them the way God treats you, by God's grace. That's how we treat them. He went to him, he kissed his neck, and the son said to him, Father, he hasn't forgot that word, has he? Father. And I've always liked that because it's such a different relationship. You know, I mean, some of my kids call my dad daddy, and I have a real hang up with it. And it's my hang up, okay? And I think it's because daddy, daddy and father, it's Abba, father, crying daddy, father. But when he becomes a father to you, he's a father, he provides, he does, it's like you've grown up into all that he is done for you. And there's so much more with father, and I don't know, it's just a word, I guess, that people say, but I think it's, if I'm gonna call him daddy, then I want it to be that, my attitude of my heart, and I don't think I've ever called him daddy. I think I called him dada. And then my father went away on TDY, but it was father. As far as I can remember, the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight. Notice, if we do anything, it's in his sight. He already sees it. No, and am no more worthy, no more worthy to be called your son, because my conduct has been bad. But the father said to his servants, let's look at an attitude of a father's love. And I'm talking heavenly father as well. The father said to his servants, you go and you bring forth the best robe. And you know what that best robe is? It is the righteousness that's been given. But the best robe is going to be practical righteousness. He is beginning to change. Bring that best robe for him. Bring the best. Put it on him. How many of you knew how to put it on in the beginning? God has people. He has faithful ministers who are giving us the word of God and showing us, put it on, it's yours. Put on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. In other words, believe it, it's there. You can put it on. And then he comes and he goes, not only that, you put it on him, but then you get a ring, and you put the ring on his finger. Show him, and I wrote down the eternal seal and love that I had for him. The sealing of the power of the Holy Spirit. Have you been sealed? And you can look that up later, Ephesians 1:13. And shoes on his feet. This is the peace offering in Luke. And if you look at this, God offered up his son. He was offered up the peace offering. God had to accept it first. Now, when he's done this, we can offer up Christ, peace with God, but the very God of peace. We now have and we experience this peace that passeth all understanding. But they said, you put on put the shoes on him and put them on his feet so they will be shod with the preparation of peace. Gene's preaching forgiveness right now. And I thought, wow, how perfect. This is the practicality of a father's heart of love. God does not tell us, I love you. Have you ever had people, I love you, I love you. Do they show you they love you? There's a big difference than I love you, and experimentally feeling the very love of God. To really know what God's love is. What is God's forgiveness? If he forgives me, that's how I'm able to forgive you. As much as he's loved me, that's how I'm able to love you. So if I can't love you, he hasn't loved me very much in practicality, because I don't even get it. But that's how you're going to grow up, by grace. God's grace. Because that's when you come to the end of self, and he gives you the grace to love one another. The grace. I can't do it. You can't do it. You have it, but it's got to grow up. When you're born again, you have it, but you don't know it yet. You know, I think it was Gene said they put a silver spoon in a baby's mouth. He didn't even realize how wealthy he is. But I tell you what, as he begins to see those riches and take it into his heart and receive it, this is a peace that he never had in the world. This is a peace of, he accepts me now. I don't have to work at it. I get to enjoy this with him. He said, I sinned against you in your sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called your son, but the Father. Remember, but the Father. And that's when all these things he told us are, give it to him, put it on him. Bring hither the fatted calf, and let us eat and be merry. Why the fatted calf? The fatted calf shows Christ did all. That's what brings us to rejoicing and fellowshipping. And remember, he left the fellowship. Bring the fatted calf. Let us all eat of it. Let us all be merry. For my son was dead, and yet he liveth. He's alive again. And when you go out into the world, I read that. It was a dead end. It's a dead end. You've got to either, you'll go by way of death, or you'll come to a dead end and you'll change. You'll ask God to forgive you and that you want the very best for him. It's not about self. He said, he's alive. Come on. They began to be merry. And his elder son, he was out in the field. And he came in and he drew nigh. Now remember, this is the son who stayed with his father. He stayed right there. He didn't take his yet. He came and he drew nigh to the house, and he heard music and he heard dancing. And he called one of the servants and he said, hey, what's going on? What is this meant? What's meant by all this? Why is there all this singing and dancing going on? And he said unto him, your brother has come. He's listened to the call of his heart. He's coming. He's here now. He said, your brother is come. Remember, your brother. Do you really see him as your brother? Natural, spiritually. Thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. Remember, sound. There's healing in sound doctrine. He was angry. That son got angry. He would not go into no rejoicing, no being merry with nobody. Why? He has that very legal attitude. He's like, I can see it. He's the one who left. He already took his inheritance. He spoiled it. Now why are you going to do all this? Because it's not something you earn. It's given because of love. He was so angry he wouldn't go in. He came to his father. He came his father out and entreated him. He answering said to his father, lo, now look how good this guy is. I love these words because I've said them. After all I've done for you, after all that work I gave you, and this is how you treat me? Trust me, you better be doing it as unto the Lord, because you'll come up really hurt. He said, he comes to him and he's angry, and he said, he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, and I haven't transgressed. I've done good. I'm a good guy. I at the time of your commandment. I at any time of your commandment. I did whatever you told me to do. Well, what's going to happen if Father would turn on you? Then how are you going to act? Let thou, and yet thou never gave me a kid that I make merry with my friends. You didn't have a big celebration for me. You ever been there? I have. I was like, well, why'd you do it for that one? And why'd you do it for that one? But you sure didn't do it for this one. People do that. People show respecter of persons. But we can't get caught up in the entanglements and the affairs of this life. He said, I serve you, neither transgress I at the time of your commandment, yet thou never gave me a kid that I may be merry with my friends. Boy, he's so caught up on I. But as soon as this son was come, which devoured thy living, he admits it's his father's living, with harlots. Come on, Father, do you not see this? Thou hast killed for him a fatted calf. Why would you do that? First of all, your father should understand what he's doing. And he said to him, son, I love these peaceful words, son, thou art always with me. You're with me. And all that I have is thine. And that's that thing in 1 Corinthians 3, 21 through 23. It doesn't matter possessions, Paul, Apollos, Stephen, it don't matter. You have it all. He said, son, thou hast ever with me, you're always with me, and all that I have is thine. Even in John 17, those very words are spoken. It was meet that we should make merry. This is the right thing to do. And be glad. This is your brother, son. He's come home. We got to get our attitude right. This is your brother, was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. Son, there is no room for jealousy and envy and bitterness and strife. You're just as carnal as he is. You see, you're doing the same things. You're walking after the flesh. That's the same thing. And when you go in and you see the expressions of a carnal Christian, all these things, it comes from carnality. I wanted to feed you with meat, but I couldn't. Because were you still bitter, envy, strife, walking after the flesh? He said, I want to change those kind of things in your heart. And know that you are beloved. I love you. I tell you what, you can ask any of my grandkids. They may not see it that way for me, but that's okay. Because it's all by God's grace. See, that's when you know it's grace. You don't expect anything from people. You don't expect it. Because until they're grown up in the Word of God, taking in the Word of God, they only have one thing to produce before you, and that is a carnal man. If they're saved, they're saved. But all they're doing is walking after their flesh. Why are we so surprised at what they do? The Bible says that's what they'll do. They're bitter at you. Even your brothers in the household, because there's carnality. I can be bitter towards someone. If God doesn't change that and we haven't grown, he's gonna allow those things in our life. Let down that hedge. Teach me how to love the unlovable. Whew, I said that once, and let me tell you that everybody unlovable came around me. And he said, Penny, that was you. I go, what? I didn't act like them. Remember the guy that said, well, I'm glad I don't do it like that. That's that old self-righteous, just, he thinks he's so good, but he's still rotten to the core. But God just wants us to have a father's love. When a father passes that love down to his children, it's going to keep going. Like it says, wives, submit yourself to your husbands, your own husbands. I like that one. I don't have to submit to everyone else's husbands. I submit to this husband. And I've been asking him lately, just, George, what do you think? Where is that verse? Never took time to ask before. He said, it's over here in this book right here. Go in there in Luke chapter 15:11. Go right there, you'll find it. See, it's not always the ones who are loud and got it all out here. Sometimes it's the quiet ones. They might know more than you do, which I'm happy for that, the head of the household. I would love it. But you look at that, what have you done with the husband I gave you? What have you done with the wife I gave you? Just because you divorce her, if it's not according to God's word, you left your responsibility. There's a responsibility. I have seen men leave my mother for their own carnal reasons. But I remember thinking, well, you're still her husband. She's not dead. She wants you here. You just, what did he do? Stepped out in his carnal flesh. I chose not to do these things. I choose not. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm done with it. It's too hard. And I think marriage goes back to one thing. Marriage with Jesus Christ, to be joined with him. How much suffering have we gone through that has brought us into a deeper love with him? It's the hard things that really should drive us to love one another even more. And that's spiritually learned. That isn't self-righteousness that look what I did and I can do. I can't do it. People go, I know, but gosh, you have such a special marriage. That's because God is doing it. When I take control, you don't want to see it. When I was in Colorado, I told him one day, I said, boy, I tell you what, you put us two on the highway. I said, we might get a divorce. I said, we were just, he's telling me this, I'm saying this. And it was out of control. It only takes one, just be still and know I'm God. Get back into the right order. God has an order in things. When things are out of order and out of control, that's what happens. He'll get it in order. He does it. We don't. We submit. We submit. Even in that, it's a little bit of a chore, but when you really know it's him, and I tell you what, there won't be any boasting in any flesh when we get there. There won't. I'm telling you, there won't. It'll be all that marvelous grace of God, that matchless, nothing can compare. I stand in awe of you, Lord, because it's all by grace through faith and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Show and magnify the grace of God. Show him off to people. Show him off first in your own home. Show him off to your own home, your own children. Then when they grow up, they have their own life. Now they're going out. It was a joy. And I'm not going to say who, and it was a joy to my heart. I could have went, oh my gosh, what's wrong? One of them that I love dearly, I was sound asleep. I got to go to bed. I got to get up and teach Sunday school. Are you awake? Nana, are you awake? On my cell phone. My cell phone was off. But I hear a call. I hear a cry of love. Nana. And I tell you what, when they do that, we have to point them to the Lord. You need him. I've been praying for you. I've never stopped. But I can't change you. But I can still love you. I love you just the way you are. But I'm willing I'm suffering. You have to suffer while they're learning. But we don't want to suffer. But Jesus was long-suffering for me. And he's patient, he's loving, he's kind. He's forgiving, as we saw today. That's what he wants. Magnify the grace of God. Let's all stand for a word of prayer and dismissal.